Welcome to the Infotainment Podcast initiating startup sequence.
Hi, my name is Randy, and the Infotainment Podcast will begin shortly. I will be your round mound of podcast sound, pound for pound, the best podcast around.
Oh, baby, it's been so long since you've been gone.
Time to come back to me, baby, where you've been so wrong.
I thought I would change up the intro a little bit. It was time. I hope you enjoyed my vocal stylings along with that backing track. I think John Bonamassa could have done a much better job doing the whole thing. If only. Great guitarist and singer, a big collector of guitars and amps, and he's got an interesting show on YouTube. That's the way it goes. Hopefully, I hope you enjoyed it. I may try something different on the next intro. But needless to say, I would like to welcome you, and especially you to the program today. This episode of Infotainment. Hopefully you are staying safe until the vaccines roll out to you. Since I have a lot of listeners in the UK, I would be interested in hearing from a podcaster if they have gotten a vaccine or are about to get it or thinking about getting it. I would like to talk to you about it on this show. And shoot me your name of the podcast, and maybe an email attachment, and maybe we can set up a time for an interview. I haven't had too many guests on here. You can possibly work out a guest hosting thing here for the show. But I would like to hear from you. Reservations you have about it, or are you going to take it right away? I believe the Pfizer vaccine is the one that's rolling out first. In fact, I know it is. That's the one that has to be stored or delivered in the coldest temperatures. Compared to the Moderna vaccine, I think the Pfizer one is going to more metro areas, while the Moderna, which doesn't have to be stored as cold, is going to be going out to the more rural areas. Since I live in a rural area of Minnesota, we may end up getting the Moderna vaccine. And I forgot, if anyone across the pond in the UK would like to send me an MP3 or talk with me about it, you can shoot that to randyms12@gmail.com. I found it kind of amusing that the second person to get the vaccine in England was actually named William Shakespeare.
Ooh.
Well, on to other news. I did see the interview with that McDougal woman, the first one she is given, a very attractive woman who committed adultery with Donald Trump. And it was kind of funny. She kind of claimed that he was always so nice to me. I can't believe he's like the way he is now. Well, I think she was kind of looking for a deeper meaning than he was so nice to you because he wanted to get you into bed.
Ooh.
Well, it looks like Vladimir Putin and his gang of hackers have been invading computers of federal agencies and Fortune 500 companies. And I wonder who is hacking into Russian computers from here. I think that I would like to think the CIA and the NSA would be doing the same thing back to them, and maybe even get our top civilian hackers working on the problem, because I would like to know what Vladimir Putin searches for on the internet site Pornhub. But according to the New York Times, the scope of hacking engineered by one of Russia's premier intelligence agencies became clearer on Monday when some Trump administration officials acknowledged that other federal agencies, the State Department, the Department of Homeland Security, and parts of the Pentagon had been compromised. Investigators were struggling to determine the extent to which military, intelligence community, and nuclear laboratories were affected by the highly sophisticated attack. United States officials did not detect the attack until recent weeks, and then only when a private cybersecurity firm, FireEye, alerted American intelligence that the hackers had invaded layers of defenses. It was evidence that the Treasury and Commerce Departments, the first agencies reported to be breached, were only part of a far larger operation whose sophistication stunned even experts who have been following a quarter century of Russian hacks on the Pentagon and American civilian agencies. About 18,000 private and government users downloaded a Russian-tainted software update, a Trojan horse of sorts that gave its hackers a football into victims' systems, according to SolarWinds, the company whose software was compromised. Yeah, it's time to get all the hackers from the United States working for like Microsoft, Apple, individuals, it's time to start bombarding Russian computers and seeing what they're up to. So we can fight the PC wars with them. Now, let's see if I can find out more. Let's see, what are they seeking? Story, what are the Russian hackers searching for this time? The depth of the latest Russian attack into the email systems of the Treasury Department, State Department, and other U.S. government agencies is stunning. But the strategy of manipulating a third party to infiltrate computer networks is not, according to Engin Kurda, a professor of computer science at Northeastern, who studies computer security. It highlights the problem of IT outsourcing and also relying on other people's software to manage your networks, says Kurda, who holds joint appointments in Northeastern's Corey College of Computer Sciences and College of Engineering. Outsourcing and having professional management software is great, but when your security depends on their security, if they fail, the implications of this failure might affect thousands of organizations. The hackers are believed to have injected malicious code earlier this year into the software updates of SolarWinds, a Texas company that helps manage computer networks for virtually all of the Fortune 500 companies and a wide variety of government clients. including Los Alamos National Laboratory, a designer of U.S. nuclear weapons. The coordinated attack, which appears to have been waged on a number of fronts, was far more sophisticated than the typical spear phishing campaigns that trick users into accessing links that appear to be authentic. Though 18,000 users unwittingly downloaded the updates with the embedded Russian code, the hacks focused mainly on the highest value targets, according to FireEye, a cybersecurity firm that discovered the attacks. FireEye itself was targeted and compromised as well. The precise goal of the hackers, who are thought to represent the Russian intelligence agency SVR, remain unknown. U.S. intelligence agencies have blamed Russian hackers for attempting to influence the 2016 presidential election 2 years earlier. The U.S. State Department's unclassified email systems were penetrated by Russian intelligence agencies. The fact that they were able to gain access to emails of government organizations would mean that they can look for opportunities to extract information to see what else they can collect that is very valuable. Curtis says, you're able to hack into this one company, play around with their updates, smuggle your own code into all of their organizations. That's very powerful. When you inject yourself into these organizations, what you will do as an attacker is just wait and see what sensitive information you can get access to, Curta says. You're also interested in moving laterally within the organization to compromise as many other targets as possible. It can be difficult to come up with the appropriate responses to state-sponsored hacks, says Julia Geary, an assistant teaching professor of political science who specializes in international relations and U.S. foreign policy. Of the many possible responses, I think the United States would be most likely to pursue something along the lines of economic sanctions together with its NATO allies and other powerful Russian trading partners, Geary says. And beyond that, that may be the best defense is actually the good defense of building up resilience and other internal measures, a lot of which won't really be seen publicly, but will make it harder for Russians and other actors to carry out these attacks in the future. Geary believes Russia may wish to remind the world of its capabilities to undermine the systems of other countries. In addition to inciting fear, attacks like these also turn into fluid and unpredictable burglaries in which the hackers search for secrets and figure out how to exploit them later. Any number of systems, including the COVID-19 vaccine supply chain, could be vulnerable. I'm sure that the U.S. government knows what the attackers had access to, and they're investigating it. I wouldn't be surprised if some pharmaceutical companies were also using this product, so there's a good chance these hackers might have access to intellectual property. The damage can be huge, but we can only speculate without knowing the full details. Well, economic sanctions, yeah. Let's go after their computers. I would like to know some of Russia's secrets. Who knows? I'm sure Putin has access to all of the internet, but I don't know what restrictions there are on what's being viewed over there. I have had downloads from St. Petersburg and Moscow before, but it would be interesting to know what Putin spends his time on the computer. and other military organizations inside Russia. So all you hackers out there, get the hacking, learn some Russian, and see what happens. See what you can worm your way into. This story of Russian government hacking into the United States computers reminds me of one of the diehards. I think it was 3, where that young kid, the PC head, who nerdaholic, who knew what that was called, at least in the movie, he called it a fire sale, trying to get control over all these things. But if somebody does it outside of a security agency, Apple or Microsoft or whoever's hired to do such nefarious computer stuff to Russian governmental computers, they should be paid a bounty. Remember that about the bounties on soldiers? They should be thanked and maybe given a medal. As far as we don't know what the Russians want to do with the information they're collecting. Wouldn't it be great if all the computers at the agency that installed this worm and our computers, all that they showed was a phone number, and that phone, a whole ton of phone numbers, actually. All the ones linked to the line, "We'd like to talk to you about your car's extended warranty." Well, with Christmas being only a couple days away, it is time to get in the spirit a little bit and describe, I'll give my best description to some really awful Christmas photos. Christmas time is a time to come together with your loved ones, to celebrate the holidays and feel merry. Many people like to celebrate the occasion by creating Christmas cards to send to their friends and family far away, which for the most part is a beautiful gesture. These people, however, found a way to turn a beautiful tradition into a photographic nightmare, one that we can't stop looking at. Come join the holiday fun and see what we're talking about. I'll give you the best description of these I can. This one is entitled "No, No, No." As your children get older, the family Christmas card grows with them. So instead of everyone gathered around the fireplace in their footy PJs, we got this. At least everyone looks comfortable, because I'm not sure I am. I'm not comfortable with that. But yes. 3 women standing behind the dad. He's in the easy chair, standing in front of the women. They're all in front of the Christmas tree. And each of the daughters, fairly attractive there. And the wife in the middle, and they're all wearing T-shirts that just have the letters H-O on them. Ho, ho, and ho. And the father's got the T-shirt with the red lettering. Says, "Chillin' with my hoes." I hope at the very least this card was the young lady's idea and not their father's. But wish someone had vetoed the whole thing before this got too far. This one is pretty high on the yikes factor. Yeah, I'd say so. let's see. A little birdie told me that you shouldn't choke a duck on a Christmas card. If you removed all the birds from This Christmas card, it would actually be a nice, wholesome family photo. Too bad we have to watch this duck get choked out. Is the duck at least smiling? We can't tell. But it would really be a shame if it was frowning, since everyone else, including that lovable dog, has a huge grin on their face. They didn't even put a hat on the poor thing. Yeah, he's squeezing on that duck's. No, they got birds galore on the people's shoulders there, so they're a real bird family. Let's see, the evil use of face swap. Face swap was created to make fun photos for people to laugh at due to their lack of likeness, not for families to create scary Christmas cards that will give their friends and families nightmares. This wife made the mistake of telling her husband she wanted a nice family portrait for the holidays. This is the family that greets you at the entrance to the underworld, and definitely not the nice photo she wanted. The parents are the little kids' faces, and the kids' faces are on the adults. Yeah, that looks kind of interesting there. What do we got? Send them coal. This is arguably the worst thing I've ever set my eyes on. And I'm not exaggerating. The Photoshop fur on the human legs is barf sound. Someone give me holy water. Man. Joe, Mira, Buddy, and Gimli need to get their acts together and do a reasonable card next year. Something that won't horrify their friends and family. Maybe they could borrow the ho 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 shirts we saw earlier. Yeah, this is kind of a weird. The wife and husband are being held by their dog and cat. Their dog and cat are enlarged, and the husband looks like he's trying to show off his legs, and it is a truly bizarre looking photo, I must say. Oh man. Oh dear. Dasher, Dancer, Prancer, Vixen, Comet, Cupid, Donner, and Blitzen have nothing on this human reindeer. Although a lot of butts had to go in faces during the making of this photo. On the other hand, I find this human reindeer to be pretty funny. But there's definitely something nightmarish about it, too. I think it's all the butts and the fact that the outfits say they're wearing look a little bit dingy. Yeah, it kind of looks like they're wearing, let's see, there's like it's a pretty accurate depiction of a reindeer, but it's all people and they all look like they're wearing dingy white Union Jack winter underwear. And there's two people. The guy's got his face right in the other one's butt. You'd have to see this, but that's my description of it. But pretty amazing looking that they would even think to do that. Amazingly weird, I guess. This is comes on what in the hell? Nowadays, the notion of the traditional nuclear family is disintegrating as people are starting to move towards more unconventional families. However, this family Christmas photo breaches a new level of uncharted territory. The Daily Mail did a story on this trend of sending unusual Christmas cards and including this gem saying instant family. The man posed with his dog and toy baby for his holiday card. Yes, that's a family, all right. Yeah, it's a guy in a Christmas, I don't know, sweater vest. And he's holding a doll. And also has a huge bulldog in a Christmas sweater. And that's the only thing. Looks like it's shot in a park or something like that. very odd. What do we have next? Oh, yeah. Season's greetings from jail. There's nothing like requesting to have a visit with an inmate, getting a security guard to snap a picture of you and your incarcerated loved one, and then sending out the image to everyone you know. Hey, they're making the most of a bad situation, so we really can't find any fault with that. Hopefully they'll get to be together soon in person outside of prison to celebrate the holidays soon. And when they're both kind of waving, and the ones on, they're both on phones, and he's behind the glass. Merry Christmas from the Johnsons. He's in his orange jumpsuit, prison attire. I don't say what jail it is, but not a photo I would take. The outpouring of festivity. Oh, this is a great one. Taking a good family photo with a baby can be a real challenge between an infant's tendency to cry unexpectedly and never look at the camera. Or, you know, vomit. The thing is, look at the baby's face. That's like the cutest smile ever. We actually bet it was the best of the entire photo shoot. So it's pretty funny that the parents decided to roll with it. They could have edited vomit out, but where's the fun in that? Yeah, the parents there. Right, holding the baby in between, and he's spewing some vomit. A little disgusting. Let's see. Do they come with Red Lobster biscuits, though? I mean, in their defense, they could pick an animal that goes along with the color theme of the holiday. Although they should have written Merry Crustacean must instead. I just want you to know how long that makeup took to put on. This family, their faces are made up to look like lobsters, and they have lobster claws for hands, wearing Christmas sweaters. And their pupils are totally black. We're going out on a limb and say they listen to the B-52's song Rock Lobster and repeat every day. Haven't heard that song, but maybe I should give it a listen. If that's not their theme song, they're doing the whole lobster thing wrong. Maybe they were the owners of a chain of Red Lobster franchises and sent that out to everyone or something. I don't know, but it's kind of creepy, actually. A rare photo from the year 0 BCE. there aren't a lot of live photos from the birth of Jesus because I'm pretty sure Joseph forgot to get the film developed before they moved. But here's one rare picture that a cow snapped. Is it traditional for roomies or groups of friends to send group Christmas cards? It's not something we've heard of before, but we're all for it if they're as funny and clever as this one is. Yeah, let's see. A guy giving birth to another guy who's got, I don't know if that's mistletoe or whatever coming out, but he's coming out under the bed sheet and like the doctor with a mask on and someone holding the patient's hand and he's got a Santa hat on and it's pretty funny, actually. Nothing like kidnapping for a fun card. Ooh. With Christmas cards being a long-standing tradition for years, it's hard to think of a unique idea each year. This family went with the fun theme. What if our kids were kidnapped and gagged? Merry Christmas, it says, and they're all three little kids sitting on a table near a small Christmas tree. And they look like they're tied up in Christmas lights and got bow tie Christmas bows over their mouths. Either the children were really bad this year or their parents just have a strange and dark sense of humor. We hope Grandma and Grandpa and the Department of Child Welfare were okay with this greeting card. They don't look too happy either. It's kind of like... Maybe if they smile a little bit, it'll look a little less creepy. maybe their parents are rather creepy to do that. But Mary, Joseph, and Doggo. I went to Sunday school throughout the entirety of my childhood, so I can confirm that Mary and Joseph traveled to Bethlehem, where they stayed in a barn overnight while adopting their dog. They had a hard time finding the brand of dog food they wanted at the local PetSmart that first evening, making things extra difficult. But somehow they made everything work, and this is where the term glamping originated. Glamping. It's like Mary and Joseph looking, holding their family pet. And he doesn't seem to be amused by being in this picture. Oh, man. Oh, here's a guy with a bunch of face tattoos. That's a wardrobe selection for the books. It's not that we aren't proud of you, sir. We really do love that you're clean. But maybe Christmas isn't the best day of the year to whip that hoodie out. Those two sweaters could not be any different if they tried. One is proudly stating a sobriety status, while the other has a bunch of cuddly toys under a Christmas tree. The guy has, the first thing I noticed, they didn't even talk about. All that matters, we suppose, is that these two got to spend the holidays together. Well, the guy's got bald, he's got tattoos all over his head, and he's got a one... on one side of his nose, and the number 3 on the other side of his nose, and what looks like a skull on his throat, some other things on the side of his face, too. It makes all the tattoos look mild on what Post Malone has on his face. For tattoos. This is... Yeah, his hoodie says drug free, and the other one's a Christmas tree and a Christmas bear with drum set and his real Christmas sweater. And the other one's drug free. Well, when he got those tattoos, I don't know if he was drug free or not, but I don't think so. Man, that's horrid. Let's see, modern art. Well, it's another guy and his cat. Cat, that's... that one's not all that. Let's see, a werewolf Christmas. And it looks like a whole bunch of people howling at the moon. They're... The moon's in the shot, and they're just look like they're howling. Or are they just serenading the moon with their beautiful holiday carols? If only we could know. Perhaps this family currently visiting England and is letting their family and friends know about it on their holiday card, a la the song Werewolves of London. Whatever the true backstory here might be, let's just hope Christmas doesn't land in a full moon this year, or this family could get into some serious trouble. What do we have here? Oh, man. This photo is full of threatening energy. Yeah, it looks extremely creepy. From the emotionless expressions on this couple's faces, to the way they are holding their cats by the scruffs of their necks, this photo has way too many ominous vibes for a Christmas card. Those cats deserve some real special treats after being humiliated on Christmas like this. We know the way mama cats pick up their young, but it really doesn't look like they're enjoying being held up by their humans in this photo. Yeah, they're just like, and the guy's got a haircut like, I don't know. He makes Trump's hair look good. He's got the bald spot right in the center of his head and the comb over right kind of on his forehead, and the two sides of it are going up like Batman ears. And they both look angry, and they're holding their cats like a mother cat would hold her kittens, like they are ready to dice them up for some stir fry or something. I think these cats might deserve a better home than this. Let's see, another one's supposed to be about, this one's with monkeys. Six little monkeys jumping in this Christmas card. Is it even legal to own this many monkeys? Yeah, let's see how many there are. Two, three, four. Five monkeys. The male ones, they got bib overalls on. And one's in a little pink dress. Oh, man. And why are they all dressed like that? Yeah, that's a question I'm asking too. This couple is giving off the most chaotic and frightening energy I've encountered in a long time. Are those monkeys even in the same photo? It's hard to tell what's going on here with all those monkeys confusing and distracting us. One thing we need to know is whether the monkeys get to pick out their own outfits. We hope so. They love their monkeys, that's for sure. Some of those monkeys get mean too, like chimpanzees can get real mean. Let's see, can I reverse Uno card this back to them? From ours to yours. This is a type of Christmas card that any good post office worker would immediately stamp with return to sender, so that no one would have to see this monstrosity. And apparently there's another family member on the way. It seems this Christmas card is doing double duty as a pregnancy announcement, which is pretty classy. How do they get the kids to look so terrified? Or are these expressions real? We're just going back to back away from this one slowly. Yeah, the mom's very pregnant, and the kids, they got one little baby one that's, well, the dad and the oldest kid, they got glasses on that look like they could see Pluto with, and they got to go back to the drawing board, and he's got the comb over going to the dad there. And not fun at all. Oh, what a fun Christmas. Well, I think if you want to see some good photos, I am a photographer, and I used to be a photographer, but I'm still a photographer too. And I did that wrong. That was a, what's his name? I can't think of the comedian's name right now. Passed away from, yeah, you guessed it, a drug overdose. If you'd like to look at some of my photos, I've had in a photo show, and you can purchase. There are a couple Christmas-oriented pictures, but you can go to Randolph9292.picfair, PICFAIR.com. Well, it is time to start initiating the shutdown sequence. I would like to wish everyone a Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays. For those of you who celebrate those, stay safe and take care of one another. Now I think it is time to warp drive this podcast to the interwebs. You can check out my Facebook page. You can tweet my Twitters at Randy Podcaster. You can email me a comment at randyms12@gmail.com. Question or concern about this show? Tell me you like it, dislike it, hate it, whatever. But if it is good, and say an under 10-minute read, I might read it over the air. But as always, have a pleasant day today and a happy ending tonight.
Oh my God, that's so funny.